You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Well, folks, it's not a fun time to be an Orioles fan right now, to put it mildly. The team just lost six straight games on their West Coast swing to fall to 8-26 overall. They've lost 11 straight road games. They haven't won two games in a row in a month. And they've now lost 12 of 14 overall and 20 of their past 24. Let me read you a quote from Caleb Joseph. This is courtesy of John Mioli in the Baltimore Sun. "We're not good on defense. We haven't been very good offensively. Our base running has stunk at times. Just every phase, absolutely every phase. Starting pitching, relieving, closing, defense, outfield, infield, you name it. We can improve on everything. That's what it takes to win major league games in the big leagues, and we're not consistent. One night, one aspect may show up. The next night, it's another one. You're grasping at straws when you can't put a game together, and we just can't put a game together right now. We've got to get better, period. Getting your brains beat in every night stinks. We've got to get better." Let's read that quote from Joseph one more time. "Getting your brains beat in every night stinks." Folks, if that's not the mantra of the 2018 Orioles, I don't know what is. Let me read you a tweet from Brett Hollander, who works for WBAL. "My biggest complaint on how the Orioles have been handled is to enter last offseason with a lame duck GM and manager. It's just an unwinnable situation. Organizations make mistakes all the time on trades and signings, but a lack of clear vision and strategy is my bigger issue." That's what we're going to talk about today, folks, the lack of vision and strategy on the part of the Orioles. We all know about Manny Machado and Adam Jones and Zach Britton and all the guys who are going to be free agents at the end of the year. But in some ways, the more important issue is the fact that Dan Duquette is a lame duck, Buck Showalter is a lame duck, and the Orioles have seemingly showed no signs of making a decision about whether they're going to keep these guys or not. 2018 may prove to be the most important trade deadline for the Orioles in many, many years. And we don't know who's making the decisions in the warehouse. Is it Peter Angelos? Is it the Angelos boys? Is it Brady Anderson? Is it Dan Duquette? Nobody seems to know. And that's a really bad situation to put this franchise in, as so many key decisions have to be made in the coming months. Joining us to discuss that and more is Randy DeClean, who writes for the excellent Orioles blog, Camden Chat. Last week, he wrote an article headlined, "The next 2 months will define the Baltimore Orioles franchise for years to come." The subhead? Should Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter be part of the looming big decisions? We're going to get to that in just a second. First, I want to remind everybody that we are available on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Stitcher, and other places where podcasts are available. So please go and subscribe and leave a rating and review. I'd really appreciate that. Also, if you want to suggest topics or guests, or send mailbag questions, or if you're interested in advertising on Locked On Orioles, please send us a note at lockedonorioles@gmail.com. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to lockedonsports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to lockedonorioles.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are now joined by Randy DeClean. He writes for Camden Chat. And Randy, you had an article recently where you looked at the future of the Orioles and asking some key questions about the future of the team. And there's a key sentence in here that I wanted to kind of expand on. You write, "Duquette and Showalter," speaking, of course, about Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter, "need to either be extended and endorsed or fired." And of course, both those guys, we know their contracts are up at the end of the 2018 season. So can you just explain why you think the Orioles need to either get rid of these guys or extend them?
Well, it's kind of related to, you know, the old Bill Parcells comment of, if he's not allowed to shop for the groceries, why did they ask him to make dinner? It just strikes me as bizarre that at this, you know, time with all the free agents on the team that everybody's familiar with, if Showalter and Duquette are not going to be around in 2019 and beyond, why they would be the ones to be around in 2018 to trade Manny Machado and decide whether to re-sign Adam Jones, et cetera, et cetera. you know, to have somebody, to have them make those decisions and then have someone else come in and rearrange the pieces that Showalt and Duquette sign or trade or don't sign or whatever, it just doesn't make sense.
So ultimately, we know the Orioles decided to go with these guys in 2018. We know now with that the terrible start they're off to that they are going to have to make these hard decisions, like you said, about Machado, about Jones. What do you think ultimately is going to happen? Do you think there's any realistic chance that these guys are going to be fired, or do you think there's any realistic chance they're going to be extended?
Well, I mean, I also talk about in the article it's so challenging because neither one of them give away information in interviews, and the Angelos family has even less to say than they do. And about the working relationship with Duquette and Showalter, we also don't really know. So, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. I think anything is possible. I'd be very surprised, I suppose, if they were fired. I guess I'd also be surprised if they were extended. I think there's just so little information for us to go on that anything is a complete guess.
So, in other words, I think a lot of people agree with what you're saying. I don't think anybody realistically expects them to be fired. And I don't think anybody realistically expects, especially Duquette, I don't think anybody thinks he's going to be back. I think Buck Showalter, there's a possibility at least. So if that's the case, then the Orioles are basically doing the exact wrong thing, right? I mean, they're, as usual, it seems like with this team, they're not making the hard decisions. They're just kind of letting things play out for no particular reason. Like you said, there's no real reason that you keep these guys around if they're not going to be here next year, but they're going to just do it anyway. Is it just another function of the mismanagement of this team, of the dysfunction of this team, do you think?
Well, it certainly, I mean, if you look at it in a business sense, it just, I don't want to repeat myself, but it is just nonsensical. Like if I would hire you or, you know, have you at the office to hire some new people and fire some people and implement new systems, and then once that's done, you know, in September, then let you go and hire somebody else to do it. I hesitate to call it just dysfunction because I don't think the team's been dysfunctional since Showalter and Duquette, you know, came around in 2010 and 2012. And the other reason I hesitate to say it's dysfunctional is because we just don't know. I mean, I can't even really speculate on if Duquette and Showalter have a good working relationship. You know, I say in the article, it seems that they do, but neither one of them ever has anything to say. And if you do a Google search on the three Angeloses, I mean, they don't talk at all. So I don't know if it's dysfunction. They could announce today that they're extending the two of them. Or, I mean, that really wouldn't surprise me all that much.
Now, if you had your druthers, if this was your team, Do you think either of them should be around in 2019 and beyond, or do you think it, you know, we know that they're going to have to start over in a large sense with the players on the field, most likely. Do you think it would also be a good time to go ahead and start over with a new group, or do you think it would make sense to give these guys some assurances that are going to be around in the future and have them be the ones making the decision ultimately?
I mean, I would fall, Justin, in the camp of having them stick around. I lay out in the piece, you know, three playoff appearances since 2012, and 12, 14, and 16, and then 13, 15, and 17. They were largely in the race until at least Labor Day. You know, everybody remembers 2010 and how miserable everything was when Showalter came in. And if, you know, somebody would have said, hey, we're going to have three playoff appearances, et cetera, over the next 7 years, I think people would have taken it. You know, you can, as with any GM or EVP of baseball operations, you can point to things that didn't work out or that did. And I think there's a lot of things on both sides. And same with Showalter's managing, you can, you know, bring up the wild card game in Toronto and all these other things, decisions that everybody's familiar with. But on the whole, I think they've both done a really good job, and I would be supportive of bringing them back. Now, hypothetically, if they do not have a good working relationship, which we don't really know, and only one could stay, I would be in the camp of bringing back Showalter. I mean, I think he's exceptional, and that's basically where I stand on it.
Do you think, I guess one of my questions with him always is, does he want to be involved with another complete teardown and rebuild? You know what I mean? At this point in his career. And I guess we don't, like you said, we don't know much about what he thinks about things like that, because he's a pretty closed book. But I would be interested in knowing how much of this, how much is he considering, well, this is going to be a brand new team and a probably a really bad team in 2019, and at least for the foreseeable future, while we start the process of rebuilding. And, you know, if he's interested, would he be more interested in going to a more, you know, a better situation in terms of winning? I mean, we don't know that, do we?
No, I guess, you know, he might be. But, you know, you saying that reminds me of kind of the bigger picture in with, in particular, Buck and Adam Jones and Nick Markakis, the three of them come to mind. You know, Buck's legacy in Baltimore could be monumental if he stays. And I think that's something that he's aware of and should keep in mind. I mean, I think it's undeniable that he really made Orioles baseball something that people can be proud of again. And this is his, I guess, eighth year. So if he would stay, I think he would rank right up there with Earl. And, you know, who would know, or who knows if there's a chance to get in the World Series or something like that. So it's not like he's ancient. Excuse me. I mean, he's only 60. So, you know, he's got around 10 years left. And same with Adam Jones. I mean, when I go to the games and see the numbers there in left field, I think Adam Jones is the one person on the team that has a chance to have his number up there. Is that worth more than a year or two? You know, a little more than that, the next couple of years, him going somewhere else and having a chance to win the World Series or to be a lifelong legend in Baltimore. You know, I don't know. If you remember the Nick Markakis situation, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I feel like the rumors were the Orioles offered him 4 years and $32 million or something. And he got, I think, $36 million from the Braves. I've barely heard of Nick Markakis since he left. I mean, he had a chance to be a legend in Baltimore, a 10-plus year career, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, he's been toiling away in Atlanta on terrible teams, and now he's not an Oriole for life. Like, is it worth it for that little bit of money? I'm not sure.
So in terms of the other players, you mentioned Adam Jones, but we know the big piece here is Manny Machado. We know that he's almost certainly planning to leave via free agency at the end of the year. I think the general consensus among people I've talked to, Orioles observers and people outside the Orioles, is that the Orioles would be nuts not to trade him at this point and get what they can for him. Do you feel that way?
Well, I mean, my first choice would be for them to sign him. If you look at the Baseball Reference numbers, I don't have it right in front of me, but I feel like next year they have like $69 million on the books. And this year their payroll's, you know, 130 or something. So I'd be hard pressed to believe that they don't have money to sign Manny Machado. But I guess that you could make a reasonable argument that $25 million a year or something for somebody is not the smartest thing to do. But if there's anybody to do it for, it's probably Machado and Bryce Harper and like Mike Trout. So it is a little disappointing that you draft and develop a player like Machado and then let him go. But in the private conversations, Duquette and Showalter would know if he's seriously considering staying or if D'Angelo's family's going to pay him. And if the answer to those is no, then they obviously need to trade.
So do you think it makes sense? I mean, this is a question I've had with a bunch of guests lately, and there doesn't seem to be a consensus on this, but we know what a bad start they've gotten off to. As we record this, I think they're something like 8-23 or something like that. And by the time people actually hear it, it very well could be worse than that. Yeah, I know it's sad. But given that, and given that there's a very realistic chance that he has no intention of re-signing, should they try trading him now, or do they wait until the trade deadline? Do they wait till July? Is there any point in waiting? I guess is the question.
I mean, given the start, there's no point in waiting. You know, if they were lurking around, you could hope they got on some hot streak and then it makes sense. But, you know, with the nature of, I mean, that's not going to happen with their record, 15 games under 500. So, you know, the sooner they can get the best deal, the better. I don't know if it's possible to let him, or if Manny's even interested in, you know, negotiating an extension with somebody and then doing the trade, because you could get a lot more than just a half season rental. But given their record, this comes down to, if he's not coming back, and they would know the answer to that, that they just have to move him.
All right. Well, Randy, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today. People can find that article and other work by you at Camden Chat. And do you have a Twitter account, or is there other places where people can find you?
I do not have a Twitter account. People can email me for my articles on Camden Chat, which I'm happy to engage with folks that way.
Okay, great. So yeah, everybody should check out Camden Chat anyway. It's a great Orioles blog. But if you're particularly interested in this story, you can go there and find it. I believe it was published on Thursday. And you can look at Randy's archive there of the other stuff that he's written for Camden Chat. And like he said, his contact information is on those articles. So again, thanks, Randy, for being with us today.
All right, Justin, you have a great day. Thanks so much.
Right, you too. And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.